You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. Be sure to check out our newest course, Essential Campus Pastoring, at newchurches.com.
We have a new course?
Campus Pastor.
We have. I didn't know we had a new course.
We've done this.
Was I consulted with this?
This was. We've talked about this. Like, I mean, you're the drugs that you're on because you're a backmit must really be messing you up.
Don't tell people. You should just say no to drugs, except these. These are helpful. But yeah. So anyway, I need to get through this back thing. But I'm gonna assume. But well, good. I'm sure it's an exciting new course. I was not a part of it, but I'm sure it's life changing and really an important niche, an important need.
Yeah. Well, so the course that you were a part of, Essential Church Planting. I'm surprised. Yes. I mean, we launched it probably a little bit over half a year ago, and people are continuing to get back to me in regards to the way that they've benefited from the course, and it's just neat to see that it's still meeting that need and helping planters and churches that are wanting to multiply all over. So that's at newchurches.com/courses if you want to check that out.
Oh, you see, I see what you did there. I see what you just brought it right in. Yeah. Well done.
All right. Well, today we have a question from Eric on residency. So let's listen in.
Hey guys, my name is Eric and I'm currently in a residency program as I prepare to plant a church in Northern Michigan. And one of the points of this residency program is to give me some time to formulate a written master plan for my future church plant. And I'm just wondering if you guys have any advice for me as I put that together of what you would include in a written master plan, what you would not include, things that I might not immediately think about that go just beyond the typical vision statement or church planting timeline that should make its way into that master plan. What level of detail do you go into as you're writing all your plans out? And if you've written these master plans before and you could go back in time and, you know, make some changes, do the whole process differently, what would those changes be to your process and to your writing plan? Thanks, guys. I appreciate all the work that you're doing to help us out.
Well, it sounds to me like he had like four questions in there. So I hope you wrote them all down.
So he's in a residency program and I mean, he needs to do a prospectus, yes. Right? He needs to do kind of like a master plan.
I got that part. But then it was, if you had to do it again, could you give me seven things you would do differently if you had to do it again? And then it was, what's the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow? And anyway, and I said African or European, but that's another story from another movie. Okay, so I, first of all, I love that they're doing that in the residency. They're actually having people write down a prospectus, a plan. That's good, solid stuff. All right, but in answer to, I think, his question, I mean, typically when you do this, you're going to first begin something that describes the need. You know, what's the community you're going to? And I think that'd be helpful to have right there at the beginning, get some demographics, not something just like, you know, I looked around, it looked like they needed Jesus, but something that sort of describes the demographic profile. Northern Michigan, lots of opportunity for church planting there. That's in the U.S., by the way. I know you're Canadian and you look down on us there. But
they share similar weather patterns with Canadians, so there's respect there.
That is actually true. That's actually true. And a fascinating fact, actually, Northern Michigan is farther north than Toronto and farther north. Probably, it depends how far north. He could be in line with Ottawa, but that's another story. Okay, so anyway.
Yes,
did you know that?
Yes,
I did know that, right? Yeah. Surely you knew that. Okay. Because here's the key you can know. You ever heard the song by Journey, Born and Raised in South Detroit? Well, there is no South Detroit. That's Windsor, Ontario. So
well,
there you go.
Eminem, what street did he grow up on? Was it nine mile?
Mile.
Oh, 8 mile?
8 mile.
Yeah. So when...
You're so up on these trends.
So up on the pop cultures of the... But when I was visiting, exactly. When my wife and I were visiting friends in Windsor, we decided to go down to Detroit and we were like, oh, it was about when Eminem's movie came out. So we were like, oh, you know, we should visit that street and just see what it's like. So we went down and started driving. Driving through 8 Mile and we decided to quickly get out of that area because didn't feel like we belonged, but it was fun to go through.
I don't know how to respond. I don't know how to respond to that other than I'd like to say that we are not endorsing the any of the tracks from the 8 Mile album.
Neither have I listened to it. So
there you go. There you go. Anyway, moving on. Okay. So, but Northern Michigan, if he begins with writing out, here's kind of where we are, where we're going. I think a little journey information about himself, and then you get to the strategy. Now, typically, I like a prospectus to be 18 months. And so in 18 months, we would expect that, you know, again, 3 to 9 months is going to be our core building and our you know, basic kind of startup stage. And then from there, we're talking about where we're going to meet, maybe some pictures. We're going to be here and we're going to start on, you know, October or whatever. And then from there, you know, what are the systems we're going to put into place early on, lead to greater discipleship, accountability, and more. And then following that, you know, what are we going to be doing up to 18 months? How are we going to get invested, involved in a new church? I would include in their basic information like, you know, what is your church affiliated with a denomination? Mm-hmm. Is your church, you know, what other churches are supporting the church? Those sorts of things. So what would you add?
Obviously, Daniel? What about the planter? And if you have a family, so there has to be that about section. So people understand who you are and what your vision and strategy and mission, and just really be able to trust you. I'd be sure to include a giving portion or something about, hey, just challenging them on, we would love for you to partner with us on that. And there's a lot out there when it comes to fundraising tactics, and we've covered other podcasts on that as well. So be sure to include that. Honestly, one other thing that I would include is how you're going to make disciples that make disciples, right? So it's one thing, I mean, today, a lot of times it's sexy to say, hey, we want to be a church planting church, or this is our plan to multiply. But sometimes they forget, a lot of planters forget, hey, but this is how we're going to make disciples that are going to multiply and move into that. So just a little bit of an overview into that and metrics, right? So, I mean, obviously there's this idea of, hey, you're giving the prospectus to people who are planning to join you, but the more detailed you are in terms of some metrics, that's going to give them the trust that, hey, this guy has his ducks in order. So for example, when it comes to financial self-sustainability, but attendance is one thing. I don't know if I'd really put metrics to say, hey, we're going to be this number of people on this state, this number of people on this state, this number, but maybe to the effect of, hey, we want to continue to be growing. We want to continue to gather people to us. So what does it look like when it comes to success? Right. So, I mean, maybe it's a percentage of, hey, we're going to have 50% of our congregation in groups, right? Or we're going to do 3 to 4 projects, or we're going to move into the city or have an impact on these organizations within the city or whatnot. So having metrics in those sense, regardless of whether, because sometimes you may have this vision to launch large with 200 people, but you may only have 80 that came out, right? Or 80 that stick around. So you don't necessarily want to corner yourself in with putting those metrics in that printed prospectus.
You know, it's funny. I've only done a couple of those, and three of those. And we actually did put in metrics,
like attendance,
like attendance of our first service. You know, and it was typical stuff. We had 200 the first service or more, and then keep 100. But I've tended over the years to agree that maybe that's not as helpful. For me, it was, we just really believe the Lord wants to do that, so we put that in there. So I think, though, I don't think that's necessary. I think ultimately, you do need to have a goal, though, to get to self-sufficiency. I think that's something, when you're asking people to financially support you, because you've got to have a timeline on that, and you're right to include that, but you might say, we're looking for people to support us for 3 years, so at the end of the 3 years, we'll be on our own, or 5 years, or whatever. Now, again, the concern people often have is, well, are they going to look at that and then come back and, you know, fire me because I didn't reach it? No, I don't generally think so. Sometimes you can work with them and talk through how you might change that. But I do think it's helpful to have some. We're asking you for a 3-year commitment, for example, and at the end of those 3 years, we plan to be self-sufficient. Or we're asking for 3-year and we plan to be self-sufficient in 5 years, but we're going to raise some additional funds, or your giving can step down, or something like that.
Yeah, and that's where having a budget in there, you don't need to break out everything, you know, by sublines and all that, but saying, hey, the ministry expenses are going to be $30,000, right? Or the ministry expenses are going to be $60,000. $20,000 is going to be to rental, right? $10,000 is going to be to equipment. $5,000 is going to be to children's supplies, right? So having some of those big things broken out there, and then saying, hey, this is what ministry expenses, you know, those are the ministry expenses. Here's salary and benefits, and here's some administrative costs. So just having people understand, hey, this is a percentage of how everything's going to look, gives people confidence that you're not just trying to scam them, or you're not just that, you know, that you're actually serious about it, that you're not just trying to see if it'll work or not, but that you've actually put the work into praying about this, preparing it, and strategizing towards it.
Yeah, I think that's good. You know, kind of a rudimentary budget, yeah, you're talking, yeah, about here. And then in there too, be sure to include something that our finances are being handled or overseen by, or something.
Yeah,
to that
that's
effect.
True.
Like if you have a mother church, you want to put that in there. Also, too, some endorsements can be helpful. Now, again, you know, this, I think he's doing this as a hypothetical based upon his residency. But if it's not hypothetical, you know, some endorsements from, if you're in a network leader, or your denomination, just to say, hey, this is a legit thing, not made up by somebody else.
And one thing that was interesting that I noticed, because there are some of these prospectuses. I mean, if you're a plus member, Eric, if you're a plus member with us at New Churches, we have 18 different church planning prospectuses for you to download. One of them is like fully editable Photoshop files. We have budgets for you to download as well. So those are all the benefits that come with being a member with us. But when I look at one of the prospectuses that are in that package, it's interesting because there's a frequently asked question section at the end. And the very first question is, did you steal this other church's mission statement? And then the answer was yes, boldly and without shame.
Yeah.
Right. So
that's awesome. I didn't remember, yeah, seeing that.
And
that's
then,
great.
I mean, this person was, especially if you're going to dual affiliate with another network as well as a denomination, just having some information about that as well. Just really the frequently asked questions was a neat thing, because you hand this to enough people and you're going to get these questions. So might as well just put them in there so that it's so that people can, they don't need to keep on coming back to you with a lot of different questions.
It's good. Yeah. It's good.
All right. Well, thanks again, Eric, for sending that in. Be sure to submit your other questions, Eric, or everyone else, to newchurches.com. Or if you're on a mobile device, you can go to speakpipe.com/newchurches, and we would love to answer them. We'll catch you next time.